Kingdom Builders, of course, is our missions giving large ministries in our country and internationally. And we have well over 100 missionary families and ministries that we give to every month. Past year, our missions giving had over $270,000.
So cool how while we grieved the loss of some of our global outreach opportunities, all these local outreach opportunities that we didn't even foresee came to us because of the crisis. And we were able to give treats and bless frontline workers. We got to give backpacks of blessing for Royal Family Kids, foster kids all around our area, and give away Operation Christmas Child boxes. I think one specific area that was just so exciting this year was getting to do grocery giveaways. We have a big campus. We covered every inch of it this year. We did 10 grocery giveaways. All told, we gave about 2,200 sets of groceries away.
And with Share the Joy, our year-end push giving to ministries again here in Baltimore and around the world, feeding the hungry, we're helping the hurting, and we're sharing God's word with those who have never heard. $64,000 came in. We surprised ourselves and we put a smile on God's face. Merry and bright. We even had people who were coming through, and at the end they wanted to know how they could give an offering. It was like, well, that's not what this is about. This is just to bless you.
Somebody had messaged in and said, my mother got cancer this year, and then COVID hit, and she hasn't been able to leave the house. Christmas was canceled for us. I brought her through in the car, and this was our Christmas, and we loved it. I really appreciate our volunteer team that's carried us through this season so well. There are those of you that for the kingdom this year, you sweated and you shivered for the kingdom of God this year. And I would just want to say thank you for serving.
Kingdom Builders Sunday, we're going to get into a lot of ways that you can serve, you can give, you can intercede. And I don't want this to feel like just a presentation. I want this to be an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you today.
Amen.
About what he wants you to do this year and how you can participate. So let's invite him to do that. Holy Spirit, would you open our ears? Would you give us vision that goes beyond our human limitation? Lord, would you give us hope in a world that seems to be filled with hopelessness? Fill us with hope today and fresh vision. We pray these things in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. Amen. Even those of you in your living room today, say it with us, amen. Well, today's Kingdom Builder Sunday, and we rejoice in what we were able to accomplish in 2020 and what we're already beginning to accomplish. We have a digital guide that is coming out, and you'll see the graphic behind me, and you'll see it on the main screens, Kingdom Builders. This is a project guide. It's available online right now. In fact, if you're at home watching it, or if you've got your iPad or big screen TV here in the sanctuary, you can open that up and look at the digital guide as we go along. We're just going to walk you through it, and then it'll be available for you to look at. Well, what is Kingdom Builders? Kingdom Builders is an opportunity for us to share the good news that the kingdom has come. Aren't you glad that was Jesus' message? The kingdom is now. It's not just something we can wait for. We're in it now. We're not fully in it. That's almost maybe like someone who's engaged to be married. They're not married yet, but that day is coming when Jesus is coming back. Anybody looking forward to that day?
Amen.
And then all the kingdoms of this world will come under the kingdom of our God. And so we talk about three areas: our world, talking about our city, and talking about future generations and how we can resource those, how we can come alongside and find out what God is doing. And you're going to hear these words quite often this year. It's all about serving those who are around the corner and around the world. Those who are neighbors, those who live in our... Jesus was asked, who is our neighbor, right? Our Baltimore City's our neighbor. Baltimore County's our neighbor. Pennsylvania, I'm not so sure about, but you know, our neighbors here and then people around the world. Well, who is a kingdom builder? A kingdom builder is a person who says that, I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to ask God, what do you have me do? And I'll partner with us, with the church. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, I love what Paul's writing. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That thanksgiving to God, what's that about? That's about people who are going to hear the good news, people here in Baltimore, people when we go to Rwanda, Uganda this year, people are going to hear the good news, their lives are going to be changed, and what are they going to do? They're going to thank God. They're going to thank God. That's what it's about, getting people to a place where they understand God loves them and they thank God. How can you serve? Well, we're going to have locally a lot of ways that you can physically serve, and globally and more limited ways that you can go, and we'll talk about those. We're still a little limited in what we can do internationally, of course. Of course, some of you know, many of us are limited in what we can do right here in our own city because of waiting for the vaccine and waiting for an all clear. But when we get that all clear, we'll be able to go again full steam with missions opportunities. But we do have some opportunities that we'll talk to you about that are going to be available in the coming days. Now, when we talk about giving, you hear me talk. Sometimes I use the baseball paradigm and I don't know, you know, I look at some of you and say, I don't know what baseball is, or, you know, I understand there's some of you who think about baseball the way I think about cricket. I don't know. I think it's something you don't want in your house. I don't understand how the game is played. Sometimes I'll look at it and I don't get it. But with baseball, you've got a baseball diamond, and there's first base, second base, third base, and then home plate. And if you hit the ball over the fence, which is a home run, you've got to touch every base. You don't just stand there, or you don't run out to second base and come back. You have to touch first base, second base, and third base. For us, first base is tithing. That's where, in obedience, we give 10%. And we give it generally. We give it without saying, I'd love this to go to ABC Ministry or XYZ Ministry. This goes to our church. And then the church supports you in the ministries that we have here for your children and for you and turning on the lights this morning. So our tithe takes care of that. Second base for us is when you are giving above that, and you are giving kind of what we call maybe a discretionary offering, like you've got an extra 10, you've got an extra 10,000, whatever. It's not going to affect you. You're never going to miss it. But there's a ministry you want to give to above your tithes. And then third base is where we get into really sacrifice and sacrificial generosity. This is where you're saying, I'm going to give and I'm going to maybe not take, and as extravagant of a vacation as I was going to take. Or for some people, talk to, it's like, I'm going to prolong my retirement so that I can give more to the work of God. For other people, it's just through fasting, I'm going to fast some things and I'm going to give in place of that. And so this is what we're hoping for our church, that the more you travel along this journey and you are working in tandem with the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that you get to the point where you get some generosity muscles that are just, you enjoy flexing them. You enjoy working. It's just something to come to. I enjoy that. I was with one of our board members yesterday who likes to work out a lot. And we spent a little time together, and then he said he's going to the gym. And I said, well, how long will you be at the gym this morning? He said, 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours, that'd be way too long for me to be at the gym. You'd have to get an ambulance and take me to the hospital right from the gym. I'm going to do an hour of cardio, he said, and I'm going to do weightlifting and do all of these things. Well, but we want to get you to that point where it becomes natural that you're just a generous giver to the kingdom of God. And it's not about your arm being twisted. It's about what is the Holy Spirit asking you to do, right? Not what George is asking you or Anthony's asking you. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? So we're going to jump into this and talk about our three areas. We're going to start kind of globally, and then we're going to bring it in locally, and then talk about our future generations. So our world, we believe everyone in our world deserves the chance to hear the gospel and to respond positively to Jesus Christ. That's what missions is about. Jesus loves you. We want you to know that. We want you to have an opportunity to respond to his love. As we typically take a number of trips around the world, and we have one trip that everybody at church in Trinity can participate in this year, right? Absolutely. Every one of you can go on a missions trip. You'll be able to afford it. You'll be able to fit it into your schedule. Most of you will be able to fit it into your schedule. Who wants to go to India?
I want to go.
Oh, one. Sam wants to go. Two, three. Everyone can go to India. Let's talk about that for a minute. Anthony, share how that's possible.
Adjusting with our current situation in our world and some of the travel difficulties that have come with the global pandemic, we have tapped into this idea of doing a virtual missions trip. And what this is going to look like is a 4-day experience that anybody can do, children, adults, Anybody that has internet access, what we're going to do is get a box, an experience box together that you'll get on a Sunday. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the evening for about 75 minutes, we're going to all gather on Zoom with a team in India. In India, we have a lot of missionaries serving to build the church in an area where the majority belief system isn't Christianity. And there's a lot of difficulties that come along with that, and we're going to learn about that. What's it like to share Jesus with folks that are growing up without a clear picture of the gospel or a knowledge of Christ? And so each night, the first 15 minutes is a kids' experience. We'll be in a different city every night with missionaries on the ground in that city. Now, for them, it won't be night. It'll be morning. But we'll get to have a kids' ministry connecting them to what ministry's like in India in these different areas. And then about an hour with adults. Every day, there'll be an activity that immerses you in Indian culture that we'll use the experience box for. And every night there will be things for you to pray about and things that you can support. You'll be learning, you'll be making an impact, and we can bring hundreds of people on this trip. The cost isn't like what it would be to go on a global missions trip. It's going to be about $50 just to pay for everything in the box and support the missionaries that we're partnering with. So we can bring hundreds of people onto this trip, and we are so excited about it.
And when is this happening? Is this
That's happening July 12th through the 15th.
July 12th to 15th. So you may want to mark that on your calendar. It'd be a way for you to go on a missions trip. My granddaughter would come home from school when she was younger in elementary school, and we would name a place in the world, and she said, "I went there in my mind with my teacher. We went there and we thought about it." Well, this won't be just going in your mind. You'll be able to go with the missionaries, boots on the ground there, and experience what it's like to be a missionary and their experiences. You know, when you think about missions is part of our DNA. You know, one of our goals here is that every teenager would have a cross-cultural missions experience before they graduate from high school. I think it's really important that people experience it. It's one of those times when you're away, let's say like on a retreat, when you're on a missions trip, somehow, I don't know that God speaks any more clearly, but I think somehow we listen more clearly when we're in that culture and in that context, and give God an opportunity to open the windows of our mind and what he may want us to do. Today we have we're going to have a couple of live guests. I think they're live. We have with us today the Olsons. This is Caleb and Angelina. Would you make them welcome? They're missionaries. Caleb and Angelina drove all the way from Bowie, their home church, this morning, Cornerstone, which is pastored by a great friend of mine, Mark Lehman, and they've been missionary associates in Vienna, but now God is leading them to be full-time missionaries in Florence, Italy. Anybody want to go to Florence, Italy with them? Oh, okay, more takers on that. Okay. They both are called into missions in different ways. And I want you to hear their stories, and especially those of you, maybe teenagers, those of you who are younger, and then some of you that are already into your vocation. Maybe God is calling you into full-time missions. So Angelina, why don't you tell us about your more traditional path of being called into missions?
Absolutely. So as a child, I was very blessed to be able to grow up in a loving church and a church that loved missions. And when I was 8 years old, I still remember the day being at home, and I remember God speaking to me about going to be a missionary to Italy. And I remember that as clear as day when I was 8 years old. And I can tell you, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, there's no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. He speaks to our children the same way. Yep. He speaks to all of us. And so as 8 years old, the Holy Spirit told me that. And so my whole life, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so when I was a teenager, as you're talking about teenagers, you know, being a part and having a cross-culture experience, that's what I did as a teenager. I went on any mission trip locally, across the board, wherever I could, because I just had such a heart and I wanted God to continue to show me what that would look like for my life. And I went to Southeastern University in Florida to study, you know, Bible and ministry, getting prepared to go in the mission field. And so after I graduated, you know, continually always to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel that it was my time to go yet. And I was like, all right, well, God, if I'll be here. And so I was on staff with our church in Bowie for about 6 years before we had our first son. I think we have the cute little picture that was up on there. We have two little boys. One is almost two and one is four. The two-year-old was born in Vienna, and we thought we should bring him back as a souvenir. So he's back with us, and we're very excited. And I'll let Caleb kind of catch up a little bit.
Yeah, we actually met at church, so it was a good thing the Holy Spirit didn't let you leave for the missions field yet, because you were going to go without me, because I had a little bit of a different route. You know, I grew up never thinking I was going to go into serving the church, ministry, missions, anything like that. I wanted to be a physical education teacher. That's where I went to school for. I was starting my career as a PE teacher, and I thought I was going to do that for the rest of my life. But again, I was part of a church that talked about missions, wanted people to experience missions trips. And so I went on a missions trip. It was my first time out of the country. And like you said, I think I was more able to be in tune to God and listening to the Holy Spirit. And God, I felt like God was speaking to me. I want you to be a missionary the rest of your life. I'm calling you to serve me. And that kind of changed the whole direction my life was on. I was starting my career in one way. And then all of a sudden, God was taking me a different direction. But again, we were obedient to the Holy Spirit. I felt like it was time just to continue serving our local church. Met Angelina, we started a family, and then God sent us to Austria for the past 2 years, and now he's taking us to Italy.
Yeah. I was thinking, their last name is Olsen. We have an Olsen. They have two sons. We have an Olsen family here with seven sons, so they've got five more to go, and they'll maybe all be born in Italy. Tell us what you're going to be doing in Italy. What
does that mission work like? And as you said earlier, I mean, who doesn't want to go to Italy? I mean, there's pizza, there's pasta. We think of how romantic it is. I mean, if anyone wants a vacation, Italy is always on the top of their list. But I gotta tell you, people need to know Jesus in Italy. Mm-hmm. When in our times in Europe, people think of Europe as this Christian continent, but it's not. It's a very spiritually dark place. And after living there for 2 years, we've witnessed that. We've been in a place where we were outside the church, the only people that were Christians that people were ever going to meet. And as we go into Italy, the similar is true. Most people have not met people who are followers of Christ in a life-giving way that know what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And so while we're there, we're going to be in Florence. And a lot of European cities are becoming very international. And so as the international population is growing, as people are looking to find a better life in Europe, so the need for international ministry grows. And so there is an international church there that just needs some help. And so we're going to be there pastoring an international church, relaunching it to really be able to reach the Italians in the community, to reach university students. And when we think of, you know, here in the States, most college campuses have some sort of Christian ministry on them. There's lots of different kinds, and most of them have something to reach university students at such a pivotal age in their life. And then you go to Europe, and you don't find that as much. And it's so sad, and it breaks our heart when we think about Florence that has next to nothing, really, on any of these campuses. And Florence is a huge university town. As much as people want a vacation in Italy, that's where people want to study, you know, especially in Florence. And so all these university towns, they don't have a healthy church to be connected with. And then, of course, the international community we want to be able to reach. Because as much as they're trying to find a better life in Europe, we don't want them just to find a better life in Europe. We want them to find life in Jesus while they are in Europe.
Yeah. Amen. One of the things I mentioned to them as we were talking, I guess, several weeks ago, was the possibility maybe of us sending a music team there in Europe. What we're finding is that the Europeans like gospel music as a cultural music. They just like to hear gospel music. But we can use gospel music to open the door to tell them about the good news about Jesus Christ. And so that may be something that we partner with them in the future. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for a family that follows you, Lord. Yes. Thank you that your calling hasn't the same way for each one of us. For some of us, it's a Damascus Road experience. For others, Lord, it's just kind of natural, and going through life, we begin to hear your voice in a different way. So we bless this family, and we ask you, Lord, to give us ears to hear what you're saying to us, Lord. Thank you for calling an eight-year-old, or thank you for calling a gym teacher, Lord. Thank you for the various ways that you call us to accomplish your kingdom's work. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this is a couple that we support. Would you express your appreciation to them one more time? So as you think about missions work, you can go for a week or you can go for a lifetime. And so that's wonderful for our serving our world. When we think about serving our world, you'll see in our guide, along with over 100 missionaries that we serve, we have Convoy of Hope, Convoy of Hope International, Fire Bibles that we send around the world, supporting Global University, Project Rescue, rescuing people from sex trafficking, and then just a variety of ministries around the world. So that's what we do, and that's what we'll continue to do in an ever-expanding way. Next area we want to talk about is our city. And as we think about our city needs Jesus, doesn't it? Our counties need Jesus, but our city, this area that we, the greater Baltimore area that we live in, there's several ministries that we participate with there, and one of those is called City Beat. You may have known it in the past as West Side Assembly of God. Anthony went down and got some video footage just to give you a little insight of what goes on with the feeding program and what kind of ministries go on with Jared Michaels. Jared, his father pastored that church. His father now pastors Eastern Assembly in Dundalk. He followed my dad. My dad was there 42 years, and now his father's been there 19 years. Jared grew up in Baltimore City with his dad pastoring that church, and the wonderful story is Jared went back to where he had grown up, and now he's the pastor of this just wonderful ministry in Baltimore City. Let's watch together.
And I'm here with my friend Jared Michael from City Beat Church. We're down here on the west side of Baltimore on Smallman Street, and it's Tuesday, which means it's time for the Bread of Life Soup Kitchen. Jared, talk to me a little bit about ministry down here on the west side. What are some of the realities of the needs in Baltimore?
When March hit of 2020, this place became a food desert. Everything shut down. What really broke our heart is in that season, so many people were going hungry. Families, when school shut down, parents didn't have schools to rely on for food, and then addiction rose because of all that as well in our area. And so it's just been a heartbreaking year. We decided that we need to up what we were doing. And so we started feeding and started just opening our doors to the need.
What are some things that you're so excited about God doing during this season? What are you cheering for?
Our model right now is see a need and meet it, find a hurt and help heal it. And so every person that comes, seeing their joy on their faces, seeing a family come that was hopeless, receiving the hope of Jesus as they're receiving a meal, people are getting their joy back as they're realizing, hey, people are in their corner cheering for them. When they come into our building or come through the line, they can see that, man, life ain't over.
Yeah.
There's still hope in the horizon for them.
I love how you guys are taking people's practical needs and meeting them with their spiritual needs as well. Amen. Your revival services in the evening, right out here on the street.
That's it.
You know, since the pandemic hit, it seems like you guys have really adjusted and adapted a lot of the outreach that you're doing. Do you have any stories about how making a change like that and shifting has helped you connect with people during this time?
Normally, we do restaurant style. People come into our building and we feed them. Since everything can't be in the building, we have to bring everything outside. And so it's been a lot harder, but we've been really just upping our sense of trying to be more personal with people. People's walls have broken down when we're able to minister to them.
Wow.
We had a few people who have come and we ministered to that are saying, you know what? We were on the brink of either taking our life or just ending it all, but just having that opportunity to minister to them right on the streets, right? Because now they're not in our building.
Yeah.
We're right where they are on the streets.
Wow. But there's so many personal situations of people you guys have touched down here.
Yeah.
Is there a story you want to tell us about something God's been doing in someone's life?
There was one guy who got lost in drugs through this season, was trying to get clean, and then the pandemic kind of threw his life in the wax. And he came to our soup kitchen day after day getting food. And finally one day, his name was Madison. Matt, it's time, man. Come on. You can't let this define your story. God wants to rewrite it and make something beautiful out of it. And so Tuesday morning, met me early, and we got him into detox. And after detox, we got him into Teen Challenge. And so now he has been going on 4 months clean. And he called me the other day and just so excited to come back when he's ready to give back.
That thrills my heart, man. Praise God.
Amen.
And keep it up.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for everything you guys do. We're grateful. We can't do it alone. As you can tell, we're better together. So thank you guys.
Amen.
Jared is also renovating a transition house for people who are coming off of the street and needed somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000-$45,000 to do the full renovations. He had already $25,000, and we have somebody in our congregation that stepped up to meet the rest of that. So that house is going to be renovated. And so thank you just for people that have means and respond to the Holy Spirit. So just a joy to be able to partner with him. There are several other ministries, from Teen Challenge to Araminta, again, helping with sex trafficking and stopping that. We have a lot of compassion ministries that were new churches that we're working with in Baltimore. And Anthony's going to lead us with an interview with somebody who's familiar to most of you today.
Yeah, and there is a lot going on across our city. As we're talking today about being kingdom builders, we're not just talking about a campaign our church is doing this year. We're talking about who we are. This is our identity. You want to be a part of what Jesus is a part of. Build his church. Build his church. If you want to be a part of what Jesus is doing, build his church. He said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so that's who we are. We are one church with many expressions, serving Baltimore together. It's who we are, being and making disciples around us. There is several needs in our city and ministries that we're supporting, and we are going to have an interview in just a moment, but I wanted to just give a shout out today. Some of our friends at Teen Challenge, which is Baltimore Young Adult and Teen Challenge, Adult and Teen Challenge, help people beat addictions, and they help people have healthy living and celebrate their recovery. And so just want to say hey to some of our friends from Teen Challenge that are with us today. Thank you so much for being with us. That's awesome. We love you guys. We're really glad to have you today. We're also really excited because an opportunity coming up locally this year that's unique is called Extreme Church Makeover. Extreme Church Makeover. Anybody watch those home shows and the DIY shows and yeah, this is in your vein. We're getting to partner with a church, not just in our district, but actually in our city to bring a lot of development and progress to their facility to help them do more ministry. And that's going to be in the third weekend in March, and it's going to be right in Parkville at Journey Church. There's a whole bunch of information that we're putting out about this on the Kingdom Builders page on our website. I know Trinity Men are getting a group together, but this is for men and women of all skill levels. You don't have to be able to work a power tool. They have a lot of jobs to do that day, and we want to send a big team over to help them. So all these city opportunities are available on the Trinity Life website if you click the Outreach tab and go to our Kingdom Builders page. Now, this is going to be a highlight for all of us in the room today, those that have been around the Trinity family for a while. We get to hear a little bit about Hope City Ministries from a familiar voice. This is Pastor John Szymanski, who's coming back to us this morning. John, we see you about once a month here, and we know every week you are serving our congregation, speaking to families, doing pastoral care. But we don't always get to hear about what you're doing down in the east side of Baltimore at Hope City Ministries. We saw the west side just a minute ago in video, but tell us a little bit, what's Hope City doing each week?
Yeah, well, it was really exciting to hear from Jared, because a lot of what they're doing on the west side of Baltimore, we're doing on the east side of Baltimore through Hope City Ministries. And I just want to give a shout out to the guys from Teen Challenge. I see them every week. They come over and they participate in a variety of ministries that Hope City is involved with. There's probably three things I just want to highlight real quickly. Every Monday, we have Boxes of Hope. And these Boxes of Hope contain all types of grocery items, and we give out personal items. And we probably serve approximately, and maybe a little bit more, and then about 100 families every single month. 100 families rely on Boxes of Hope to get by. You know, it's been 4 decades since I've been back in the city, and urban ministry is something that's not new for me, but it's been a real refresher, and it has been a shock to me. And when I think about all of the families that are you know, fed by Hope City Ministries through the Boxes of Hope, what really shocked me the most is that all of these families, as they come and they receive a box, most of them walk, sometimes walk 1 or 2 miles just to get a box or two of groceries and personal items. And many of them, they'll come via public transportation. And so for me, it was a shock. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. You know, I wanted to just get a bus and go around and pick them up and bring them by. But we're serving a real need. And so I really, give a shout out to Brad and Mary Dickey. They're the founders of Hope City Church and Hope City Ministries. And, you know, my role is just simply to come alongside them and try to help them develop both ministries.
Yeah, and not only on Monday with Boxes of Hope, but on Wednesdays, you provide meals for folks, right?
Yeah, on Wednesdays, we have Feeding Baltimore. We've kind of renamed it Hope Begins. And we serve over 100, men and women who are living on the streets. And these guys are very familiar with it, and they're very involved with it. And for me, it was just really shocking when I saw some of the information that Jared was showing. And that's exactly what we do. We no longer can have people come into the facility and that. So what we do is we cook a hot meal. We have a young man. He is in his early 20s. He's a chef. Some of the food that he cooks up, it's probably showing a little bit on me. And we just put it into styrofoam containers. We take it out and we give it to people. And they sometimes eat it right there on the streets. Other times they just take it to wherever they are, they're living. And so we've got all these people that we're serving on a regular basis that really look to this. And this is their main source of supply. And the other thing that is really kind of exciting that's starting tomorrow is that we're going to have kids' clubs.
On the weekends?
The kids' clubs are going to be on Tuesdays, every Tuesday beginning tomorrow. And there's going to be 5 kids' clubs. And they're going to be very practical ways where kids can come together and they can just learn about different things. There's going to be drama, dance, running, adventure. But it's an opportunity for kids to come to a central place to learn something, to connect with other kids, and many of them who will be coming in that, they don't know Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be an opportunity to have some conversation with them.
Those after-school type programs that make a world of difference in a kid's life.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's not just offering something helpful, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus.
We're not just
helping, which really isn't an injustice when we don't meet people's spiritual needs as well. And so we really appreciate that. I saw a moment ago the video up here of that freezer, and this is a cool connection moment for us. Those that gave a Share the Joy bundle this Christmas season. If you gave a Share the Joy bundle, part of that went to help buy this freezer down at Hope City. And I just thought that was so cool that we could celebrate that today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Trinity. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, John, now with all these things happening on the east side through Hope City Ministries, what's something that is just getting you so excited right now about what God is doing?
Well, there's two things, and I'll make this really, really brief. Everything that is happening on the east side under the banner of Hope City is taking place within the footprint of Hope City Church. But there is a nightclub directly behind Hope City Church, and we would love to see someone step up and say, hey, we'd like to purchase that and then lease it to you for just a small amount of money, or would like to buy it. But I think it's called La Oasis. And so it's a nightclub, and there's a lot of people in the community would just like to see it go away. But it's directly behind Hope City Church. And it would be an absolute dream to be able to have this facility. It's between 10 and 15,000 square feet. And everything that we're doing, like Hope, the Boxes of Hope, Hope for Baltimore, the kids' clubs, and there's a lot of other things that we would like to do, teach English as a second language, just provide all kinds of skill-empowering opportunities to people. Everything would be housed in this facility. So that's something that you can be praying about, and you never know, there may be a business person who says, yes, I want to buy that, and I'm going to lease it back to you for a buck. And then we'll be able to move in and take advantage of it. And the second thing, and this really, really gets me excited, is that on Sunday, March 14th, we are going to be commissioning 3 young single adults. They are in their 20s. They have heard God's call to be involved in Baltimore City. And so they are going to be missionary associates with Hope City Ministries, sent out from Hope City Church. Hope City Ministries is what the ministry that they're going to be working with, and they're going to be doing this full time. What is so ironic for me is that we have an underserved urban church sending out 3 individuals to help serve underserved people in Baltimore City. That, to me, is exciting.
Amen. Well, we're going to be believing with you that that Jesus warehouse happens That's right behind your building. And I know that God has big plans for that. In 2021, we're excited to partner with you and be a part of it. Would you give your hand and express your appreciation to John?
Thank you, John. Anthony. Thank you, George.
Thank you, John. There is still hope for Baltimore. God has not given up on our city. In fact, how many of you believe there can be a spiritual awakening in this whole region? Mm-hmm. This whole region needs a spiritual awakening, and we want to be a part of that. Our final area is the future, talking about next generation ministries, ministries to our children and to our teenagers. Anthony, why don't you kick that off and tell us something about Next Gen?
Absolutely. Next Generation is one of our favorite areas to invest into intentionally. We know that it isn't just natural for people to grow a mature faith in Jesus Christ. It requires intentionality. It requires a lot of training and support. It requires a community that will reflect the faith decisions they're making with the Lord, friends that will support them, leaders that will train them to be godly. And we're so excited that through Trinity Kids and through Run Students Baltimore, we have a plan in place and a strategy from birth through graduation to help kids not only have faith of their own, but to know why they believe what they believe and real experiences that no one could ever take away from them with Jesus. I know parents, some of the things that are important to us with our young people is that we help them think critically about their faith so they can develop a lifelong faith and not just a faith that gets them through high school. That we can help them live purely and choose purity when innocence gets taken away from them in our world. We know that innocence, it's not long-lasting in our sex-saturated culture and a culture that has just shifted so far away from biblical truth. So we don't want them to have innocence. We can't control that forever. We want them to be able to choose purity. And, you know, also we want them to learn to serve God with their gifts. Pastor George mentioned giving every student an opportunity to serve God and share the gospel in a different culture before they graduate. And also, we want them to be able to share the gospel on their campuses, at school, and be able to reach their friends right now at a young age. Some of you may not have a child in Trinity Kids or Youth, but they still belong to you. That next generation still, as a family of God, one body, all the members belong to all the other. And we want to take special care of those that are developing their maturity. And you know, we need you. We do. We need you to help fund our next gen ministries and go above and beyond so that we can do something drastic across Baltimore County, across Baltimore City, to give every young person an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. You don't really grow up in the United States and in the Baltimore area without seeing churches, without knowing the name of Jesus. But you may have never heard a clear presentation of what the gospel actually is. And so we really want to bolster our Trinity Kids and our student ministry programs so that they're able to be aggressive in bringing the gospel into our area. And, you know, another thing we do through our future, we don't just reach in and reach out among Baltimore County, but in our schools. But we also try to do things for vulnerable children, whether they're foster kids or orphan kids. We try to do some things to meet their needs and let them know that God loves them. Through Operation Christmas Child, and many of you gave shoeboxes this year, we gave hundreds of Christmas gifts to kids that maybe wouldn't get a Christmas gift otherwise with a copy of the gospel in there. We did some things like Night to Shine. Now, this just happened a few weeks ago for our 2021 Night to Shine. We adjusted it to be able to bring people on campus and let them know how much Jesus loves them. And this was a phenomenal event. Thank you so much for all the people that were a part of this, serving the special needs community that is often underserved and making them feel so special. We did it outside. It wasn't warm, but it felt like it was 80 degrees outside because of all the excitement and cheer and enthusiasm that was happening. So thanks so much for helping us do those things.
What about our next gen ministries? I think we have some video from Joel and from Jerry.
Run is a space where students ages 6th to 12th grade have an opportunity to meet with God right where they are, to grow in their faith, to be encouraged in their passions and develop them to reach their campuses and their schools for God. It looks like equipping and empowering the next generation to develop those gifts, and we know when we work together as a community of faith, we can see those dreams realized.
You can tell how tall a building is based on how deep the foundation is of that building. We want to build a deep foundation in the lives of kids so that they can reach their God-given potential. We want Trinity Kids to be an exciting place where kids want to be, where they're begging their parents to bring them. We want this place to be a place where they build a deep foundation so that they can reach high to God's potential for their life.
Well, we believe that investing in the next generation is a privilege for us, and it's also a God-given responsibility. And one of the things we want to add to this year is we have several upgrades we want to do to our facilities, with media, with just environment, to be able to change some things, and also to equip our ministries, especially our youth ministry, for evangelism here in the city. And in Kingdom Builders, we're hoping and praying for about $30,000 to be able to make those things happen. Now, some of you, maybe if you've got a shoebox with some extra cash under the bed, this might be a good time to help us invest in the next generation. Last week, we talked about generosity. Timing is important, isn't it? These kids, we only have, let's just talk for a moment about teenagers. We only have them for about 6 years, right? About 6 years, and then maybe it's the influence of college, it's the influence of the world that begins to push in on them, and we need to do everything we can to prepare them. Let me just also say, parents, and as a grandparent, you know, I look at this world, I just look at some of the changes that have come out of Washington, D.C. in the last week, and there's naturally a lot of fear there, isn't there? What are these people, what are we up against? I was with a pastor this past week who had moved to Harford County from Pennsylvania, pastoring a church in Harford County, and four children had sent them to public school. He said one of his daughters, as a teenager, said she's in counseling right now because of all of the sex, gender, everything that she faced in school just blew her mind and her paradigm, and trying to help her see that through that. And so there is a lot that we need to do. That, and you know what I think is going to happen in another 10 or 20 years? All of these people who are looking for their identity and gender and identity and materialism and identity and all the, they're going to be so broken, and they're going to come to places like this. And we're going to be able to restore them, but it's better to be able to say, no, you don't have to go down that path and be restored. Find Jesus first. Find your identity in him. And that's what we want to do with Next Gen Ministries. We want to raise up Daniels and Nehemiahs and Esthers and Timothy. We want to raise up young people who are saying, I believe, I understand who I am, I understand the way I am created, and I'm going to live that out. So if you can help us anyway financially, to just give us a boost right now. We have, since we're not using the facilities as heavily, this is a great time for us to do some renovations, and we've been doing a lot of those. But if you can help financially, maybe if you can give a large gift, just give me a shout, text me or call me, or I'll come by your house and pick it up or whatever. I'll be involved. But we've got a short window of time with these kids. They're here and then they're going to be gone. And it's so important for us to be able to bring everything we can to bear in their lives about Jesus Christ.
We know when we come together as a church, we know we can accomplish some of these things quickly. We saw it through Share the Joy bundles this year. And these are some pressing needs that I know we can accomplish fast.
Okay, a couple of things as we wind this down. One is your project guide, and this you see the cover of it here on the screen behind us. That's available online. We have not printed them this year. We may print them, but they're digital. We'd like to print them in the past. I'd like to print them and have you take extra copies to your office or somewhere where other people were seeing them would pick them up and say, oh, this is what your church does. And it would be, we're not to take our light and hide it under a bushel, Jesus said. We're to let the world see what we're doing, and we want people to be see what we're doing because of Jesus' love in us, not just because there's a humanitarian need, but we are compelled by the love of Jesus to share the good news. So three things I want you to consider. First, again, pray. Like, God, how should I be involved? Not, again, not our words, but the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The second thing is, as you're seeking God, just ask him to show you what opportunity, and then say, God, do you want me to be an intercessor? Hopefully all of us, he wants us to be an intercessor. God, do you want me to give towards this? God, do you want me to go? You can go with us to serve Baltimore, you can serve Baltimore right on our campus, or you can go around the world. We have a young adult trip that is planned for Rwanda and Uganda that was planned last year and has been moved to this year. And
There's a young adult trip to Israel
in
August, but then in October, any adult could go to Rwanda and Uganda.
So Israel and Rwanda and Uganda will be places that we will physically go. And
we're hopeful those happen. We've been talking with those missionaries, looking at changes to travel, and everybody's real hopeful right now and positive about it. We're going to make a final decision in April as we near those trips, but there's still some room on each team. They could go. You could go to the Kingdom Builders page on our website today and register for those trips or apply for those trips.
Okay, so be thinking about those things. Denise and I are thinking about leading a trip to Bermuda. And if you know, but seriously, just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? As we think about our giving today, as we think about however you give online in the guide, you'll see how you can give to Kingdom Builders again above your tithes. And say, God, how can I give in a way that honors your Son, Jesus Christ? How can I be involved in a way that gets me beyond first base, second base, third base? Because home plate is where all the blessings are when you're serving and you're walking in obedience. Not everybody can give to second base or third base level, but those of you can, let's do it together and say, thy kingdom come, his will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we want to be part of that. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the offering. Father, as we think about our giving, we're in a culture that's very much like the culture that your Son encountered when he came to the earth, a culture where our identity is often in our money, in our possessions, in the things that actually kind of possess us. And Lord, we don't want them to possess us. We want them to be your possession, your treasure. So Lord, help us as we give to find our identity in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you supply the needs for missionaries like the Olsons through churches like this. You supply the needs in our city through the variety of ministries and for our next generation. You're the one who ultimately supplies. So, Lord, thank you for faithful givers. Thank you for the generosity of your people. Lord, I pray that your blessings may abound in ways that are unexpected to us. Lord, may you fill us with compassion. May we be people who are compelled to press your kingdom forward so that everyone would have the opportunity to hear and to respond to the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those right now, maybe here in the sanctuary, watching online, who don't have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. The first thing that they need to give is they need to give their life to you. And they do that through three steps: admitting that they need you, that they're broken, that they're sinners, filled with sin. They need to express that they believe that you're the Son of God that died on Jesus as your Son, and he died on the cross for us, and he rose that third day, and then they need to choose to follow you. Admit, believe, and choose. As they are making that decision this very day, as they're contemplating that decision, Holy Spirit, we invite you to allow them to know just how much Jesus loves them and what a wonderful, marvelous plan he has for their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, giving.